Vasudevaya. Okay, let me ask what chapter 15, right? And which verse? 31. Because there's two here on the page. Vishoko. Brahma Sampatya. Sanchina. Dvaita. Samshaya. Lina. Prakriti. Nirgunyad. Alingatvat. Asambhava. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya. Lina Prakriti Nirgunyad. Alingatvat Asambhava. Vishoko Brahma Sampratya. Samochina Dvaita Samshaya. Lina Prakriti Nirgunyad. Alingatvat Asambhava. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. Samshina Brahma Samjaya. Lina Prakritir Nigunyad. Alingatvada Sambhava. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. Sanchina Dvaita Samsaya. Lina Prakritir Nigunyad. Alingatvada Sambhava. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya. Lina Prakritir Nigunyad. Alinga Twada Sammoha. Ladies. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya. Lina Prakriti Naigunyad. Alinga Twada Sambhava. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. Sanchina Dvaita Samshaya. Lina Prakritir Nigunyad. Lina Prakritir Nigunyad. Alinga Twada Sambhava. Vishoka. Free from bereavement. Brahma Sampatya. By possession of spiritual assets. Sanchina. Being completely cut off. Dvaita Samsaya. From the doubts of relativity. Lina merged in Prakriti, merged in Prakriti, material nature. Nirgunyat, due to being in transcendence. Alingatvat, because of being devoid of a material body. Asambhava, free from birth and death. Translation. Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. He was free from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from the material form. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Doubts of duality begin from the misconception of the material body, which is accepted as the self by less intelligent persons. The most foolish part of our ignorance is our identifying with this material body with the self. Everything in relation with the body is ignorantly accepted as our own. Doubts due to misconceptions of myself and mine, in other words, my body, my relatives, my property, my wife, my children, my wealth, my country, my community, and hundreds and thousands of similar illusory contemplations cause bewilderment for the conditioned soul. By assimilating the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, one is sure to be released from such bewilderment, because real knowledge is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, is everything, including oneself. Everything is a manifestation of His potency as part and parcel. The potency and potent are non-different, so the conception of duality is at once mitigated by attainment of perfect knowledge. As soon as Arjuna took up the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, expert as he was, he could at once eradicate the material conception of Lord Krishna, his eternal friend. He could realize that the Lord was still present before him by his instruction, by his form, by his pastimes, by his qualities, and everything else related to him. He could realize that Lord Krishna, his friend, was still present before him by his transcendental presence in different non-dual energies, and there was no question of attainment of the association of the Lord by another change of body under the influence of time and space. By attainment of absolute knowledge, one can be in association with the Lord constantly, even in this present life, simply by hearing, chanting, thinking of, and worshiping the Supreme Lord. One can see Him, one can feel His presence, even in His present life, simply by understanding this Advaita Jnana Lord, or the Absolute Lord, through the process of devotional service, which begins with hearing about Him. Lord Chaitanya says that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can at once wash off the dust on the mirror of the pure consciousness. As soon as the dust is removed, one is at once freed from all material conditions. To become free from material conditions means to liberate the soul. As soon as one is therefore situated in absolute knowledge, his material conception of life is removed, or he emerges from a false conception of life. Thus, the function of the pure soul is revived in spiritual realization. This practical realization of the living being is made possible due to his becoming free from the reaction of the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. By the grace of the Lord, a pure devotee is at once raised to the place of the Absolute, and there is no chance of a devotee's becoming materially entangled again in conditioned life. One is not able to feel the presence of the Lord in all circumstances until one is endowed with the required transcendental vision made possible by devotional service prescribed in the revealed scriptures. Arjuna had attained this stage long before on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and when he was apparently felt the absence of the Lord, he at once took shelter of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, and thus again he was placed in his original position. This is the position of Vishoka, or the stage of being freed from all grief and anxieties. Wow. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarane Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Trishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishadi Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye. So it's always a lot of emotion to be in New Dwarka again, but I have to apologize because I'm not used to speaking in English without being interrupted every few seconds by translators. And I'm not used to speaking in front of a lot of senior devotees. But this is like a classic purport. But I just heard news from Ramasar Prabhu that our god sister Labangalatik has been called back to Prabhupada. So we should all pray a little bit, or a lot. Many know her very well. Not too long ago, Dorkadish, she's famous as the mother of Mr. Dorkadish, as Prabhupada called him. Anyway, he put up the news and that she's, you know, not long to stay in this world. And such a flood of praise for her came, I saw, and just so many devotees glorifying all her good qualities and activities and power, book distribution, cooking, everything. And finally, she was long time. I met her a few times in India. She was rescuing cows and taking care of so many cows. That's still going on. Somehow she organized a very nice project. Also, she was a pioneer of Russian book distribution. Traveled all over to Russian embassies around the world, distributed books, and went to Russia. I heard that she just put them on windowsills and stuff, and people would take them in the house. So it's such great souls that, and the disappearance of devotees is, you know, generally in our sampradaya, the disappearance day is a big festival, the big celebration of great souls. In Vrindavan, when, you know, the different acharyas' disappearance day, they have long, many days festivals. So we feel great separation, and we help us all realize that we better get serious because the clock is ticking. And this is a quite amazing purport. They're all amazing, but some are especially amazing. And doubts of duality. That's our main problem. We're caught up in dualities. So that's the first thing Krishna's teaching, you know. Hot, cold, happiness, distress. These are all dualities, and we have to rise above them. Bhagavad Gita, again and again, is talking about these dualities. That we're controlled by them. We're hot, we want to get cool, we're hungry, we want to get full, we're sick, we want to get well. It goes on and on, unlimitedly. But that's all with the body. So that's why we hear all the time in Bhagavad Gita, we have to be equipoised or not disturbed. So Arjuna is remembering Bhagavad Gita, which was spoken for all of us to get us out from this illusion that I'm the body. We had one guest in Japan on Sunday. And just devotees are always asking, how is Japan? It's very hard to describe the place, both the spiritual development and just the whole place. But last Sunday was especially auspicious. I think they sold 2 full Bhagavatam sets and 1 Chaitanya Charitamrita set. Some kind of phenomenal day. And we had a very good Harinam afterward also. So when we're free from dualities, then, you know, one can engage in Krishna's service with determination. Dridhavrata. And how do we become free from dualities is to somehow remember Krishna. Lord Chaitanya has made it simple with the Sankirtan movement. Chant the holy names. But it goes on and on. So this misconception that we're the body, I think everybody, you know, intrinsically we all know we're not the body. Even materialistic people, when someone dies, so-called dies, they say he's gone. Right? Prabhupada gives that example. He's gone, but who's gone? Because he only knew the body. So, it sounds very simple, but to act always on the platform that we're spirit souls and we're servants of Krishna, we have to use the body, we have to maintain it. I just met, you know, devotee outside. We're all getting old and so many different breakdowns. But you don't have to get old to break down. Many people are very young. But Ryan told me yesterday his auntie or something was reading the obituary, and she said, I want to see if we can get our bridge game together next week. You know, which one of her friends might have died. So, but we're thinking who's going to go back to Godhead. It's much more enlivening than those who are on the bodily concept and think that it's all over, or, you know, have some illusion about what happens. But the soul is eternal. So who are we? You know, someone's like asked me, I get asked so many times, how are you? So I don't know what to say, actually. I don't know if you know the 11th canto when the Kumaras met the swan incarnation. He said, who are you? And he said, well, if you want to know about the body, then you should say, how are all you five? Because it's 5 elements. And then he went on and on like that. And if you think that everyone is the same and it's all one, and why are you even asking? You know, so the body is temporary. It's not going to live very long. We can think the mind 1 minute, everything's fine. The next minute think, you know, maybe I'm not going to be around more than a few more minutes. And so you have to carry on. It's a nice Prabhupada, when he said this long list of my things, you know, my. I remember reading in Shyamasundara Prabhu's book when first time he met all the Beatles in one time. They were recording George's song, My, Me, Mine. And they thought it was a stupid song. They thought, what is this? You know, my, me, mine, everything is my, me, mine. And they didn't like that song. And then when he talked to them afterward and explained it, then they all thought, yeah, that's very good. That's right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in one song, I won't say mine ever again. I won't say I and mine. Everything is yours. And he goes like a long list like this. All these things are yours. They're Krishna's. But you've given them to me to take care of, so I will dutifully, you know, take care of this body, take care of this family, take care of this house, or take care of whatever I have. So that's the thing. It's simultaneously one and different. Chintya Veda Veda Tattva. It's not really different. We see things, you know, different. And there are differences, but ultimately they're all Krishna's energy. To put a sign outside, you know, in the Japanese trains, they have a sign, put your phone on the manner mode. Manner mode, they call it. It doesn't ring. It just vibrates or something. Because we forget. If Krishna was calling it, then we have to connect with Krishna. If we had as much determination to be connected to Krishna as we are to be connected to the internet, we'd be doing pretty good. You know, we have many examples of, you know, we're trying to, it should be Krishna. So it's stressed in this purport, Bhagavad Gita. A very funny time in the Mahabharata, later on in Arjuna and Krishna. And Krishna tells, Arjuna says, I don't remember, you know, what you taught me on the battlefield, and can you teach me again? And Krishna said, I don't remember either. Then he told him some other story. But we find it again and again, the same teachings throughout the Bhagavatam. I was trying to this other day, and we're talking about the Chaturasloki of the Bhagavatam in the second canto, in chapter 9. And they're almost the same as the Bhagavad Gita Chaturasloki, a little more detailed. That's basically the Bhagavatam is the same. The Uddhava Gita is all the same things, but much more detail than the Bhagavad Gita. But everything is there in the Bhagavad Gita. If one takes it seriously, if we have faith in Guru and Krishna and practice devotional service. And verse before, the Chaturaslokas says that everything, you know, ultimately by the mercy of the Lord, that he's telling Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma understood the whole Bhagavatam just in those four slokas. And then he taught it to Narada in more slokas. And then Narada taught it to Vyas. And then we get, you know, from Vyas, so many slokas. Then we get the purports of the acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, we wouldn't really, we could read the Bhagavatam, just the slokas, but we wouldn't get very far as knowing what to do or how to do it. But Prabhupada is very kindly explains in detail what to do and then why to do it and then how to do it. I don't know exactly which order, but so Krishna is saying, all of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. So that's the thing, and then, you know, purport is the personality of Godhead said, knowledge about me as described in the scriptures is very confidential, and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. Service, that's what Prabhupada translates bhakti. Many translators, they call bhakti divine love and things like that, which are very easy to misunderstand and concoct all kinds of wrong meanings. But Prabhupada very clearly, loving devotional service, or sometimes only just devotional service, service, activity, service attitude, service mood, you know, and the Hare Krishna mantra translation. We were meeting one Roman Catholic priest in Nigeria, and he was very favorable. He would go on the radio and tell people to buy the books from the Hare Krishnas. And he, when we would speak at his university, he would, everything I would say, then he would explain it also, that the same thing's in the Bible and things like that. So there were some other devotees that had been preaching to him. They were had not in ISKCON. And then when I told him the translation of the Maha Mantra, that means, my dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. He got all excited. He said, well, they never told me that. You know, that's really great. That, you know, because he was trying to serve. He actually was so devotional that he was at odds with the church, you know. He wanted the people to think and be creative and all these things. He had his own university. And he loved to have devotees come and speak, and he loved kirtan. So that, you know, realization, we're chanting the holy name, but, you know, we can chant for musical entertainment, we can chant for so many reasons, and it's all good, but, you know, really we're begging for service. That's what we should be thinking. And that Krishna is there, he's dancing on the tongue. Tunde tunda valiratim vitatune tunde valiratim. That should be, we want millions of tongues. One is not enough. So how can we do that? We can try to get more people to chant. Of course, the more people chanting, the better. Right? Just, I think this weekend they had the Sadhu Sangha with Indraduna Swami in North Carolina, and more than 3,000 devotees chanting. It's quite, you know, an experience. But even one chanting, it's a festival. Two, three, it doesn't matter. The first Harinam party I saw was only one devotee. Wasn't the first. This first one was three or four devotees, but I was so bewildered I didn't really pay much attention to them. I was more interested in Chuck Berry and a few others. But the second one was just one devotee. His name was Narada Muni. He was chanting like really intensely, and that was it. I said, okay, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm looking for. And later in the day, another devotee, but it was only one. And then I thought, for sure, I'm convinced now, because they were totally different types of style and everything. So if the right people, you know, we don't need a big, big show, but if we make one, we attract more people. Like in Japan, we don't normally, we do Harinam, it's usually not very many devotees, and you know, people don't seem to notice very much. But a few weeks ago, when somehow there's a lot of new people coming, so one of our girls, she's an Odissi dancer, and she organized all these girls and dressed them up like Odissi dancers, and they were all dancing in front. Then the people really noticed. All of a sudden, everybody was like, the whole atmosphere became like everybody was noticing us and wondering what are you doing and wanting books and everything. So it pays to, you know, make a show. But anything, you know, we start small. Prabhupada started inconceivably with nothing, you know, apparently materially. nothing spiritually, he had everything because he had Srimad Bhagavatam and he was totally dedicated to his spiritual master's instructions. But materially, you know, we can't, I mean, it's inconceivable what he didn't have, you know. Didn't know anybody. He had only two people to even reference that he never met them, Dr. Mishra and Agarwal, and no money. He had rupees, but in those days, rupees in America were an unheard-of thing. You couldn't change them. But he had total faith. And then, you know, all the trouble he went through, quite inconceivable. And devotees didn't realize at first because he never showed any, like it was troublesome. But, you know, no, getting moved around a few times for various reasons, getting all his things stolen a couple times, visa problem. But he stuck it out, and then now we have, you know, unlimited. We have so much facility. We can go all over the world, and there's devotees everywhere, and there's temples, and there's books, and so it's quite an amazing thing, but it all comes from that, you know, tapasya that Prabhupada did. Tapasya pays. So this temple keeps growing very ecstatically by, you know, all the wonderful things going on here. And so many flowers. Japan is flowers. They're kind of a rarity. So when I see these other places, it's mind-boggling. But we hope that in a few hundred years we'll still be going, and it'll be bigger and better, and more devotees just seeing here are so many young devotees, so much saffron color. That's a very good sign of life, you know. We don't want to be like the old folks' home. I visited one, and it was a very opulent one in Arizona up in the mountains. And it was my former wife's uncle. And he just said, "You come here just to die." You know, ah. So we don't want to create such things, you know. We want to, like, I'm very old. I mean, my body, I guess. But my mind is getting younger every day. And sometimes too young. But, you know, we like to be around the young devotees. If we go out chanting with all the young devotees who are jumping, we start jumping also. And there's a saying even that non-devotees have, that you don't stop dancing because you get old. You get old because you stop dancing. So we're not old, like Prabhupada said. I can't remember who it was exactly, but they, in Vrindavan there, they said they knew about that Yayati king who changed bodies with his young son. And he said, "I wish I could give you my young body, and I'll take the old." Prabhupada said, "No, we're all young." He didn't identify with the body. And it sounds very simple, but I would start out, we had this guest showed up in Japan on Sunday, and we're giving out invitations, and he didn't even want it, he said, but somebody kind of pushed it into his hand, and then he didn't talk to anybody, but he got attracted. And he said, he was tired of suffering and he wanted to be free from all that. And he knew there was something spiritual. And I said, you know, it's just because you think you're the body, that's why you're suffering. And he got completely attracted to that. He kept asking me, and that's the only problem. Because the body is temporary and all the pleasures of the body are temporary. So a wise man, he doesn't take pleasure in trying to contact the body and the senses and the things that give pleasure to the body, but everywhere this is what advertised. You know yourself. I don't know, they have those here in India and in Africa especially. All the mobile phone ads, they're all advertising. We have, 50 million megapixel selfie camera. Know yourself. See your real self. The big signboards. They have those here? They're in China also. Same thing. One, they use that because I probably as a result of our preaching, but they use all these spiritual terms for advertising mundane things, cigarettes even. And one I saw in Beijing, it was a really big billboard, and it said, "Know your real self." And it was Budweiser. Just showed all these young people drinking, and Chinese and Americans, all different varieties. You can really know yourself. So they want that. So we have to teach them. We teach them. And the realization comes when, we can engage people in devotional service. We had Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance day recently, and if you remember he made so many devotees. I don't know, many of you remember, but anyone he met, he just said, "Wow, can you help me?" Whatever he was doing, taking out the garbage or Jaipataka Maharaj is one of those. They were building the Rath Yatra. He said, "Can you pound a nail?" He said, "Well, you're great. You're expert. Pound all these nails." "We're really glad you came. Help me. Help me. I couldn't make it without you." So everybody feels very happy and they help him. I had that experience myself. And he gave me a job which was way over my head. And I was quite new in the movement. And he just left me there, like very quick, just do this, build this stage for the kirtan on Hippie Hill. A big pile of wood and a bunch of tools. And it was good for me because I really prayed. I didn't know what else to do, and I did it. And I really felt like it was his mercy, and I told him, and he said, no, and you did it, and he just walked away. He would not take 1 minute to hear anything about himself. He was too busy. When Karandar Prabhu asked him, "How do you make advancement?" he said, "I don't know, I'm too busy." Too busy serving. That's a sign of advancement. So that's what we want. So we need to think about these. And now so many great devotees here, there were so many a few days ago, and I wanted to come, but like I said, they have so-called duty, and Japan is starting. We'd like to have more visitors, but not very many visit there. It's quite out of the way. I'd also like to have more visitors in West Africa. Nobody visits there. It's very troublesome. It's very hard to get a visa. It's very expensive. You have to, but it's very blissful. And if you go on Harinam Nera, you have thousands of people gather around and join in and everything. So thank you, Tank Archit. I was surprised he asked. I was thinking I could hear. Sometimes I tune into the classes here, and you have all these amazing speakers coming through, and especially Amala Bhakta Swami, and devotees who are so dedicated for so many years. So thank you for tolerating. And if any, how are we supposed to say now? Reflections and retractions, comments, questions. We can say Krishna is mine. No. Prabhupada said that. It's not in this purport, but nothing else is mine. Everything belongs to Krishna. And, you know, but I may have the title. I may have the official title. We have devotees who have title. And one devotee in Bombay, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, something like 17 factories and 17,000 employees, you know, all under his name, you know. But he's the simplest devotee practically you could ever meet. He doesn't think it's mine, you know. It's Krishna said, you know, it's not my temple or my anything. It's all Krishna. But Krishna gives it to us. He can give us a little bit, can give us a lot, but whatever it is, we have to use it for Krishna. Damn, it's serious. I hope everybody will pray that I can somehow do that someday. If anybody, Ramaswar Prabhu, you want to say something about Labangala Tiki? Dasi?
Those who may not have met her or known her, or may not know this, actually, mass book distribution actually began in this temple. And it began with a small group of devotees, of which she was a very noticeable member of that group. And from her efforts and being a Sankirtan warrior, Sankirtan spread all over the world from that group. And she's immortalized because she helped start mass book distribution in our movement. And she did it for so many years, she was irrepressible. She didn't care if she got arrested. She would go where you're not allowed to go and come right out and start again. She is an amazing transcendental daughter of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any comment that we have over here?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I just remember her kindness, her friendliness, and her smile. She had a smile you wouldn't forget because she had like a gold cap on. So when she smiled at you, it's like her mouth is glistening. She was just like such an effulgent personality, and very, very kind and but very determined. I mean, we were talking earlier, Ramashwara and I was. That's what I remember most about her. She was such a warrior, so determined. Nothing, like you said, would stop her from doing that service.
Once when she was distributing books in the LA airport, there was a tour that came through, and she sold every one of them a book. And then they went back to the tour guide, and the tour guide said, oh, she's not authorized to do this. You go back and get your money back. And so they all came back to her and wanted their money back. And she stood up on a bench and she said, actually, I'm very authorized to be selling these books. And I will not give your money back because these books are the best thing that will happen to you on this trip.
Anyone else? She is very, very powerful. She's extremely humble, which is, it's to our mundane conception that sounds contradictory, but it's like Jayananda Prabhu, unbelievably humble, and then that's the power. And Labangala Tika amongst devotees was very sweet and powerful and completely humble, but on Sankirtan, she was ferocious. Hand up.
I just wanted to say that for the last 20 years she's actually been living with my protection.
Huh?
At her farm in Maharashtra, she has been protecting the cows.
Yeah.
And that has been the main service. And she doesn't just talk about it or expect somebody else to do it. She was living it. She was taking care of those cows.
you know, cow protection, and Prabhupada stressed that so much. And it's one thing we need to improve, but she did it, and for a long time. And it's still going on. She set it up, I heard, very good. I never saw it, but cow and bull protection. Men and women need to be protected.
Mother Nartaki went and visited her just a couple weeks ago, and she told her a Sankirtan story. So it went like this. Labanglatik was in the airport, and there was a tour, and she gave everyone a Bhagavad Gita, and they all gave a donation. And then the tour guide, they went away, and the tour guide told them, this is terrible, you shouldn't have taken this book, these people are cheaters. So all the people came back and said, we want our money back. And then Labanglatik, I can't believe she had this kind of audacity. She stood up on a chair, and she said, ladies and gentlemen, I wish to address you that we are completely authorized here to be in the airport, and every one of you has received a 5,000-year-old classic literature, and there is no greater value for your money than to get this book, and so forth and so on. And then the tour guide was embarrassed, and he couldn't say a word, and then they all went away with their books.
So, okay.
When I was living in Vrindavan, I met her again, and she told me that in order to live in India, she had to find an Indian man who would marry her. And so I said, how did you find that? And she said, well, I put an ad in the newspaper and took interviews. So she had, I don't know, 50, 100 men coming. They had, their requirement was they had to follow the four regulative principles, agree if she wanted to marry her. They had to agree to follow the four regulative principles. So they would come in and they'd sit down and she'd read them the Riot Act. And nope. Finally, after almost 100 men, the last man decided he would marry her. So that's amazing.
Okay, boss, is it time to... This one doesn't have a sign, you know. I think it's in the manner. It says, please finish class by 8:30 or this seat will self-destruct or something like that. This seat will go, you know, under the floor or something. You know that one? Mission Impossible. The old Mission Impossible.
This message will help us.